Thank you for joining us on the Bible Baptist Hour. Pastor Heaton here, Bible Baptist Church located in Lupton on the east side of the road. No matter which way you come into town, you can find us. 9:45 for Sunday school, 11 o'clock for the morning service, 6 o'clock for the evening service, midweek Thursday night at 7 o'clock. Youth time for the teens, 10 o'clock Sunday morning for our 5 to 12, Thursday night at 7 o'clock. So anyways, we're glad that you've come along here to be with us. We do this every Sunday morning, as you probably know. And today we're starting today we're finishing, the third part of a message entitled Instruction Concerning Contentment. And we hope it'll be a blessing as we conclude this sermon. We have a song today. I'm not sure who it is that's singing it, but it's a good song to go along with our message. I just want to thank you, Lord. So that's a good thought, isn't it? We ought to thank the Lord for what we have and be content. Don't be discontent. Well, I don't want to get into a message, but if you haven't heard some of that already, you will hear some of it, all right? So, without any further to do for me, and I hope that you will be in church today somewhere. You need to be. Don't depend upon us. We're not your church. I'm not your pastor, unless I am your pastor. but we're not trying to be your pastor if you don't have one. We're not trying to do that. We're trying to get you to understand you need to be in a local church. All right, listen close at the end of our program. Our announcer will give you information how to get a hold of us. In the meantime, we're going to have our opening song, I Just Want to Thank You, Lord, and then into the third part of this message entitled Instructions Concerning Contentment. Lord.
Just want to thank you, Lord, for every time you heard my prayer. I just want to thank you, Lord, for always being there. When I was so down and out, you came around, you made me want to shout. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. If I had 1,000 lives to live, I'd give them all to you, Lord. You've been so good to me. That is the least I could afford. You made the good times outnumber. You've been the best friend I've ever had. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Turn to you, Lord. You're the one I depend upon. You lift me up when I am so down. You took my whole life, you turned it all around. Just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yes, I just want to thank you. Heard my prayer. I just want to thank you, Lord, for always being there. When I was so down and out, you came around, made me want to shout. I just want to thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, you made the good time outnumber the bad. You've been the best friend thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Here's instruction concerning cross-bearing. By the way, this is the first time the word cross occurs in your Bible. And it doesn't have anything to do with Jesus' cross. It's yours. Now you think about that a minute. It's Jesus talking, and he's not talking about his cross. He's talking about your cross before he ever got to his. Come on. And he said, if you can't bear your cross, well, let's turn over here to Mark a minute. Just see what Mark... Mark says it a little bit different, but Mark puts a little bit more emphasis on your responsibility. Mark 8, verse 34. And when he called the people unto him with his disciples, he said unto them, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I know this is set at a different incident in time as Matthew 10, but what I'm trying to show you is here, what is this cross? Now, most people think that cross-bearing is some burden they've got. Well, the Lord put this cross on me. I'm just bound to go through the rest of my life with only one ear. You know, everybody in this world suffers from some kind of ailment of some sort in some way. And that every, listen to me, every family in this church has problems of some sort. That's not cross-bearing. That's just trouble. That's just trouble. That's just tribulation. That ain't cross-bearing. That's just something that Paul said, it's going to come. Cross-bearing is something you do for him, but he says you must deny yourself. Now, what does cross-bearing have to do? Look at Isaiah 53 a minute. Isaiah 53. Now, I don't have time to preach this whole message here this morning, but let me give you this here, and then we'll move on. Isaiah 53, verse 12. Therefore, will I divide him a portion. You know what this chapter is all about, right? So we don't have to go through that. With the great. And he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the what? See, that's what it's going to take. He was considered a criminal, an outcast, a troublemaker. Cross-bearing has to do with you dying to yourself for him, exactly as he died for you. Cross-bearing is this. Well, let's turn to it. Galatians 6, turn to it. Cross-bearing has nothing to do with the problems and tribulations and trials that come along in life. That's just part of life. Well, this is my cross to bear. No, that's just your sickness. That's just your whatever it is. That's not your cross. Your cross is a self-denial for him. That's where you are second, he is first. I get so tired of hearing people talk about, you know, what they can't do this because of that and they can't do this. Hey, it takes some self-denial. Do you know what? Listen, you look at your national sport, and I hate this more than anything else, but you look at your national sports figures, and many of them have denied a lot of things in their life so they could be the top basketball player, the top football player, the top pogo player, the top hopscotch player, whatever. There's been fathers, I've heard them talk about some of these college kids, and their father would come home from work at night and he would spend hours out there on the parking lot or wherever, the gym, throwing the ball back to the boy while he shot free throws, throwing the ball back to the boy while he did this, because they wanted their son to be number one. And they would deny themselves their own privileges in doing and playing hockey or whatever it is they wanted to play for the boy. And right here in this church and churches all over America, there are people in that won't deny themselves anything for Jesus Christ. I'm first. That's what cross-bearing is about. Cross-bearing is not pleasing this world. It's pleasing Him. We don't like that. Galatians 6, look at verse 14. But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world. Paul considered himself crucified to this world, that is, dead to it. Bearing a cross is not a burden. It's death. Bearing a cross is not a burden, it's death. You die to some things. Hebrews 12, read this first and we'll go move out here. Hebrews 12, you know what it says, verse 2, but just so we can read it all together here. Not we're reading it unit, but just listen to me. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. You know, when you read about the cross and Jesus Christ, you weren't reading about troubles and trials of his life. You're reading about a literal thing that took place in his life where he denied himself what he could have had for you. That's what a cross is all about. That's what cross-bearing is about. Cross-bearing is about not some burden that come in your life. It's about you and him and self-denial on your part. 2 Samuel 24. Look at verse 24. And the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it. You remember the ark was there, and he wanted to have a place for make an altar. And Araunah said, oh, just you can have it, king. And his king says, no. Notice what he says. He says, nay, but I will surely buy it at thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. There's the instruction concerning counting the cost. David said, I'll not offer something to God which not cost me something. We live in this give-me society. They want you to feed them, pay their bills, and do everything else for them, but they won't come to church. And if they do come to church, they complain about everything that's in the church and never give a dime to the Lord. Amen. And the sad part about it is there's many saints just like that. They want something for nothing. And David said, I will not offer sacrifice. I will not go to this place of worship of something that costs me nothing. Now, I know that some of you in here, I know it's costing you. I know it's costing you to get in that car on Sunday morning and start that engine and drive here and go back home and turn around and come back Sunday night and turn around and come back. I know it's costing you something. But let me tell you something. Anything that costs you something for the Lord is worth it in the long run. And you say, well, preacher, I know. I can walk to church. I'm just two blocks up the road. I can walk to church. See, I know that, see? And I'm kind of tooting my horn, but I'm going to tell you something. I go a whole lot of places during the week that you don't go. And I have to stop at Shell and Sunoco and wherever else. I have to stop there, and I have to look at the tank and go, and when it shuts off, I just go, okay, right in the book, man. It's just, you got to spend it. But I think this, if I'm doing something to please God, then the reward's at the end, not now. Amen. And David said, I'm telling you what right now. Listen, turn to Luke 14 just a minute here. And I really don't want to belabor this. I'm trying to shut up. But that's hard. It's hard to shut up when you've been given free rein. He's talking about a man, he says in verse 28, for which of you intended to build a tower, setteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. There's a lesson to be learned. There's a cost to everything we do. Most saints don't sit down and count the cost, but they're ready to complain when it comes time to pay. Brethren, listen to me. I'm not telling you how to run your life, please, okay? But maybe you're going to have to sit down and say, I'm going to tell you something right here. It's going to cost us if we're going to put God first. But here's what the most important thing is. Amen. I guess I'll turn more lights off. I guess I'll turn the temperature down and put 2 sweaters on. 3 sweaters. Maybe I'll put my long johns on. I'm not telling you how to do it. I'm suggesting that it's going to cost us, but no man worth his salt is just going to jump into something without sitting down first and saying, wait a minute. Now, I'll tell you, my boy there, Jonathan, he wanted to buy a car here earlier when he came home from school. And I didn't tell him not to buy it, but I did the best I could to help him understand, you know, that's a pretty big chunk out of your paycheck every month. And what happens is 6 months from now, you do meet Mrs. Wright. Now, I don't know where she's at. I married her. You can't have her. Now, I don't know where she's at, but that she just may come along. And she, you know, at his age, girls are not interested in long-term dating. When you're 22, it's, when can we get married? Of course, some of them are talking about now when they're 14, they're stupid kids. But I'm just saying, is that, and he didn't care. He was getting you, he just wasn't interested in making the money. Been there before. Done that. Done that. Had to make the payments. Some of you still there, aren't you? John 12. See, I didn't tell him not to. I just tried to get him to understand what's important about this thing. Okay? Hey, brother, come on. John 12, verse 3. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus and wiped his feet with her hair, and the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. And one of the disciples, Simon Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, which betrayed him, was not that ointment sold for 300 pence and given to the poor. So what's the point? Imagine getting overset how another person, what another person does with their riches. Imagine worrying over how much another person gives to the Lord to show how much he loves him. Show you something about the heart of that person, doesn't it? You know, there are people out here in this world, and you say, hey, so you go to church? Yeah, you tithe? Yeah. You give 10% of your money every month, every week to the church? They give 30 of theirs to the bar. I don't know what a drink costs. Anybody here know? Okay. All right. Caught you, didn't I? Okay. I have no idea what one costs, but I have an idea it's not 50 cents. I have an idea it's in 2, 3, 4, 5 buck range. I don't know. Okay. Somebody speak up quick. oh, Tony's telling me 5. Does Heather's get that much from you every week? Oh. You heard a guy at work talking. Okay. So imagine that. Here's a guy who tells you you're a fool for putting your money in the plate, and he goes and buys several $5 drinks. And they're probably not even as... Well, anyway. 1 Timothy 6. Say, boy, we've been that one a lot. Yep. Paul had a lot of practical things to say about life. All right, verse 7. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain. We carry nothing. We can carry nothing out. Here's instruction concerning certainty. It shouldn't have to be said, but there's a lot of saints stockpiling in this world. Because they think they're going to take it somewhere. And what's going to happen is your family is going to get it, and the lawyers are going to get it, and the government's going to get it. And you're going to take nothing from this world to the next world except what you put away before you got there. I always like, you don't have to turn there. I always like this verse in Proverbs. I'll tell you where it's at once I get there. I think it's in the Bible, I think. Proverbs 23:5. Wilt thou set thine eyes upon that which is not? For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Amen? And don't we see that every week we stop at the gas pump? I mean, you can drop in there with a 50 and leave broke. Amen? And all you did was turn the machine on. Hebrews 10. Just refrain from saying anything else because I'll get into a long thing here. But verse 10:27. I wish I didn't have to read this out of context, but I have to for time. But a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. What am I at here? A fearful looking for of judgment, but a certain. Can I tell you what? Judgment certain. I'm not going to read the passage, but listen to me. 2 Peter 3:7, judgment is coming to this earth. It's a fireball. You're sitting on an incendiary bomb. This thing is going to blow up into flames one of these days. People say, global warming is coming. You bet your mama's booties are coming, buddy. You know global warming's coming, but it ain't going to be what this world thinks. You say the ice cap's going to melt? No, they're going to burn. Amen. Read it in 2 Peter. It's going to burn up. Save the whales. Save the cormorants. Save the spiders. Save the mice. Kill the babies. Judgment's coming. 1 Peter 4:7 says that judgment's going to begin at the house of God before he does anything else. Brother, listen to me. The church is going to feel her judgment. Saints are going to feel the judgment of God in their lives before God judges this world. And if you want to look around this world and say, I don't know why everything's going bad for me, and it's not for this world, because God's bringing judgment to the house of God first. Why? He's trying to get you ready for the judgment seat. And then judgment's coming to the judgment seat. Romans 14:10. We're all going to stand before God and give an account of ourselves. Judgment's coming. Judgment's coming. If you can count it certain. Revelation 20:11. The white throne judgment's coming. And this world's going to have to face God. Every lost man, woman, boy, or girl someday is going to stand before a holy God and give an account of themselves before they're cast into the lake and burneth with fire forever and ever and ever and ever. Judgment's coming. It's certain. It's certain because this book says it's certain. Father, you know our hearts today. Oh Lord, we surely need some help.
All right, that brings to conclusion that message entitled Instructions Concerning Contentment. Next week we'll have a new message. Let me tell you how to get a hold of us by email. BibleBaptist@m33access.com. That's all one phrase, Bible Baptist. So BibleBaptist@m33access.com. Why don't you take just a moment, if you have a computer, if you're able to send emails, take a moment, drop us a little note in the mail and let us know that you're listening. And if that's not sufficient, you listen real close and our announcer will give you an address where you can write to us. Either way, we'd love to hear from you. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening to the Bible Baptist Hour. It is our prayer that our message today will be helpful to your growth as a saved person. If you are not saved, you can be saved today by asking Jesus Christ to forgive you of your sins. Let us know you listen by writing to The Bible Baptist Hour, 3338 Main Street, Lupton, Michigan, 48635. Join us again next week for a new message.